Good morning. Glad you're all here this morning. It is a privilege for me to be here. I always am honored to be in this place, just to be able to teach Dr. Carter Sunday School classes, and is an honor to me. And I have to admit that it's nice having him here. It's just things seem to run smoother when Dr. Carter's here. I don't know why, but now he's close enough that he can throw stuff at me if I make a mistake. So I'm also scared to death right now. So that's last night when I was preparing, I shocked myself last night as I was going, I'm really not as nervous as I have been previously. I'm just not nervous. And then last night I had a nightmare that it did not go well. And so I am more nervous now. I think the Lord just says, you thought you weren't nervous. So I'm looking forward to it this morning. Last week, if you were here, we talked about understanding God. And it's very difficult to pack everything that you want to say into one lesson. I did the best I could, but naturally, there are some things that I just had to say, well, I'll just set that aside. And so when Dr. Carter asked me if I'd go ahead and teach this morning, I said, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to take all the stuff that I couldn't talk about last week, and I'm just going to throw it on here. So we are going to once again talk about understanding God, how we live our life in an attempt to get to know our Savior. We're going to do Understanding God, part number two. So that's what we're going to look at. There's a reason I use the screen, and one of the reasons I use the screen is because I want to go through a lot of things in the Scripture, and a lot of the things I teach are things that I believe most of you in here already know. Most of you have heard these things, you know these things. I'm not trying to teach you anything new. My goal is to try and remind you of some things that you already know, but if you're anything like me, you might have forgotten about them here and there. And so my goal is to put the Scripture up there, and if you're a note taker, I want to give you enough time to at least write down the reference. I know there's some of you that like to go back and study through the Scriptures and make sure that these things are so, and that's an awesome thing. I want you to be able to do that. I don't use this as a reason for you not to use your Bible. There are going to be some points in the Scriptures where I want you to turn, but I'm giving you that warning because through some of these things, I'm going to be going rather quickly through the Scriptures, so I'm going to apologize in advance if you can't quite keep up with some of the Scriptures. At least, hopefully, we'll give you enough time to jot down the references at least. The first thing we're going to start off with is I have some bad news. I have learned that it's always better to start with the bad news and get the bad news out of the way. So that's what we're going to start off with, is when we're talking about understanding God, there are some things that are some bad news. Last week, if you were here, we discussed the importance of understanding God because that is where our relationship with Him grows from. If we misunderstand God, if we think of God improperly or incorrectly, then it's very easy for us to become discontent with our God because He doesn't do things the way we expect Him to. And the problem isn't with God. God has always been the same. He does not change. The problem is when we understand Him incorrectly. And so it's very important that we understand God. I want to go through some things about understanding God and what that takes and how that is done a little bit here this morning. The first thing I want you to know is it's gonna be hard. It is not an easy thing to understand God. It is not something that can be done part-time. It is something that is very difficult to do. The reason I say that is because we're talking about understanding God, our Creator, the God of the universe, and we're trying to grasp with our finite minds Him. I can't even understand my wife. I've been married for 10 years. It's awesome. And after 10 years, I've learned something. Those of you that are married, you can probably attest with me. I haven't figured her out yet at all. It's very difficult sometimes. Now, there are some things I've learned about my wife. There are some things that I know that I can expect from her, but that doesn't mean I understand those things. I pick on my wife all the time, and I can do that because she's busy this morning doing some things for baby day, so I can talk about her, and she can't say nothing about it. My wife has a habit of every night when I get in bed, she asks me, did you set the alarm? Did you lock the door? And so I'll normally, yes, I did. And she's good. But if I pause and have to think about it, that creates a doubt in her mind. And it is impossible for my wife to go to sleep without that little nagging doubt in her mind. And so here's what my wife will do. I don't understand. I know she'll do it. I don't understand this. But she'll wait for me to fall asleep. And then she'll get up and make sure that the door is locked and the alarm is set. I don't understand this. Me? I sleep. Is there anybody else that like that? If you think the door's not locked, anybody? See, you don't understand it either. We're all on the same page here. But I've learned that's about my wife. The scripture says that I'm supposed to dwell with my wife according to knowledge. So I've learned these things. I've learned that there's a doubt as a loving husband. If I don't know absolutely for sure, I should get up and check it myself so she doesn't have to. That's what I should do. I'm not saying that's what I do. I'm just saying that's what I should do. And every once in a while, I'm really, really nice. And other times, I'm like, I'm in bed, woman. I'm sorry. You can check it when I'm after sleep. I don't understand my wife sometimes, and she really has no clue anything about me. I am a very, very difficult person to understand. Because have you ever realized that sometimes you don't even understand why you do things? You don't even understand yourself. And we're talking about understanding the God of the universe. It's going to be hard. The Bible says in Romans 11 and verse 33, oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. If you want to understand God, here's the bad news. It's going to be hard. The second thing is it's going to take all you got. If you want to understand God, you are going to have to give it your all. You can be a nominal Christian. You can be a Christian that does the Christianity things and come to church and look good on the outside. And that's, shall we say, easy to do. You can find religions around the world that do more religious practices than what we even do as Baptists. It's easy to do the outside things. It's difficult to understand God. And to get to know him, it's going to take all that you have to be able to do this. The Bible says in Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, it says this, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you come to a point like we had read last week, to where you say, I am willing to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You're willing to set everything aside that I am the most important thing to me. What I am living my life for is to understand God. Then and only then are you going to begin to grasp who and what God is a little bit. You loving the bad news this morning? Oh, this is great, isn't it? Don't you just love bad news? It's going to be hard. It's going to take all that you have, and it's going to take a long time. I remember when I was first saved, I was excited. Anybody else excited when you first got saved? This was new. This was new knowledge, and you're diving into it. And how many of you did what I did as a young Christian, and you felt like you hit that wall? It's like, everything's great, I'm going to know. And then all of a sudden, boom. This isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. And you kind of feel like it just should come easier, and you find out that you're dealing and fighting with your own flesh, and this Christianity thing wasn't as easy as you thought it would be. Maybe you were in the same boat that I was, and I thought, now that I'm saved, man, everything is going to get so much better. And then your car breaks down the next week. It's just things don't get better. I remember specifically when I was, this is part of my misunderstanding God, when I decided that I was going to come to Bible college. And I decided that I was going to trust God to pay for my Bible college. And I had one summer, I guess you'd say, to save up some money. And in the middle of that summer, the transmission in my truck, gone. And in the process of that summer, I changed the transmission in my truck 3 times. And I'm looking at God going, this is not what is supposed to happen. This is, I'm doing what's right. I've submitted to your will, and now you're supposed to make everything go right. Misunderstanding of my God, God bringing me through those trials. don't have time to teach you the lessons that I learned there, but I've got some scars from it, and I've got some things that I learned that God used those things to teach me. You see, I remember when I was first getting saved that I just thought I was going to get this stuff figured out right away. I was going to be the best Christian anybody had ever seen next week. And it didn't work out that way. You see, growing as a Christian takes a long time. We grow very, very slowly. Occasionally, we hit a growth spurt. How many of you have had kids that went through a growth spurt and you just couldn't keep the clothes in them anymore? I remember when I was a teenager and I hit my growth spurt, I was always the shortest in my class until about 10th grade, and then I was the tallest in my class at the end of 10th grade. That one year, every pair of pants I had were high waters. They came up nice and high, and I just thought that's how they made pants now. I thought I was in style is what it was. I was starting a new trend. Every once in a while, as spiritually, we can go through growth spurts to where we're just like, every time we open the Word of God, we're going, it's so amazing, and it's just like everything is just awesome. And then there's a majority of the time to where the growth is very, very slow. You see, the Bible says in John 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. How long is it going to take for you to understand God? The rest of your life, and then a whole lot more. What's life eternal all about? I kind of mentioned it last week. I'm going to be millions of years into eternity, and I'm going to finally, it's going to click what God was doing when I was 20 years old or when I was 15 years old. I'm going to start understanding God because this is life eternal. What's life eternal all about? Why does God give us eternal life? That we might know Him, that we can get to know Him. So how is it that we grow? How is it that we take this overwhelming task, and how do we add to our faith, and how do we grow this knowledge? Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 10 gives us a beautiful picture. Verse number 9 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. They're no longer an infant in Christ. They're ready for some meat. They're ready to start growing in him. In verse number 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. How do we grow in our understanding of God? How do we accomplish this? It's important. How do we do it? By little and little. Just one thing at a time. That's why it's so important for us to become faithful to the house of God. That's why it's so important for us to become faithful in regular time and study of the Word of God, because it's going to take the rest of your life, little by little, understanding Him. Now, I can tell you one thing. It's hard work, but it's worth it. The more you understand God, the more you are willing to sacrifice to gain that much more knowledge of Him. The closer you draw to Him is the more that you say, I don't care about this stuff in the world anymore. I just want Him. Scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. It's like going to a buffet line, and there's so much there you don't even know where to start. Does anybody else overeat at a buffet line? Anybody else do that? I do that every time I'm at a buffet line. You know why? Because I get to the buffet line and I start to taste. It looked good, but then when I start to taste, I want more. And then I want more. God is the buffet line of heaven. He is amazing, and you never ever get full. That's a buffet line I can get involved in right there. Buffet line, I eat all I want and never get full. I'm looking forward to that. See, God is so amazing and so awesome that one day, the more you get to know Him, the more you can stand, like we read, I believe it was in Philippians, that you are willing to sacrifice all things for Him and count all things but loss, that you can live your life that I may know Him. That's the bad news. I don't want to dwell on bad news. I don't like dwelling on bad news. So here's the good news. this is what I get excited about when it comes to understanding God. I have a desire to understand him, but I know it's going to be a difficult task. I know who I'm dealing with. I know who's trying to learn this stuff. Me. Whew, this is going to be a big undertaking. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take all that I have. But here's the good news. God has already revealed himself. God has already shown himself to us. Quickly, let's remind ourselves of how God has done that. The first way that God has shown himself to us is through creation. When God created, he poured himself into his creation. He gave us illustrations of himself in everything he created. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." The Bible teaches that you are a fool. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God, because all you have to do is step outside those doors and look at creation, and you know that there's a God. There's something out there bigger than us. He has planted in his very creation, he has planted seeds of himself to help us understand him. But then he didn't just stop at creation, and that would have been enough. He didn't stop at creation. When he made us, he gave us a conscience. And in our conscience, we have the knowledge of a God. We have a knowledge that we cannot deny. Romans 2 and verse 15, talking of the unrighteous, talking of the worldly, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. How is it that somebody can grow up not in church, grow up with no knowledge of the scriptures, but they know it's wrong to kill somebody? How do they know that? Because in their conscience, God has placed a knowledge of him, an understanding of there are things that are right, there are things that are wrong, and there's a guilt that comes with that conscience to where we know that we are not right. God has revealed himself in creation. He's revealed himself in our conscience, and then he has revealed himself in Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. God from heaven dwelt with men. God revealed himself in his Son. The Bible says in John 14, in beginning of verse 9, this is comical to me, Jesus speaking with one of his disciples. And the disciple asked Jesus, "Would you show us the Father?" And Jesus responded, "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." I look at this and I go, man, the time that we live in, how blessed we are. Do you realize that there was a time in the Old Testament past to where people could stand and had a knowledge of God, had a way to see God, where God had revealed himself through creation and through their conscience and through a picture of Christ. But they had not seen that full picture. The picture hadn't been fully painted yet. We live in a time to where that picture has been completely painted. And we don't just see revealed to us God, our Heavenly Father, as our Creator, but also as our Savior. What a blessed time we live in, because we live in a time that we get the fourth way that God has revealed himself, the canon of Scripture. We have something greater than what the disciples had. You see, we find in the book of 2 Peter, we find where 2 Peter is speaking of those that had the ability, those that had the privilege of seeing with their eyes Christ and hearing with their ears the Heavenly Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He is speaking of those that were eyewitnesses of this account, those that saw God being revealed to them in physical form. And here's what 2 Peter 1 and verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. We can say that we are children of the light and not of the darkness, because God in this time has given us the most condensed, the most pure revelation of himself, and we get to hold it in our hands. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and this light was the light of men. God has given us light. God has shed to us light on who he is and what he is like. Why has God done this? Because number two, God wants you to understand. God wants you to understand him. God wants it so badly that he created, and everything he created, he gave us a picture of himself. You want to learn about God? You know one way you can do it? You study his creation. Scripture says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. You study the ant, you know who you're going to learn about? The God that created the ants. You study, and I've been amazed at those that are able to do gardening. I'm not a good gardener. But those that have spent their life in a garden, you know what they have understood? A lot of things about the Creator. They understand the times and the seasons that God moves in certain ways. They understand some things about God because they understand some things about his creation. If you study the human psyche, and I'm not big into this, I'm not big into psychology because it goes way over my head, but there are some truths that you can find when you study how God has created us and the way we think, the body, the soul, and the spirit. We are made in whose image? We're made in his image. And when we begin to understand how God created us, we can begin to understand God a little bit better. God also has revealed himself in Christ, and the more you understand Christ, you are understanding God himself. You are understanding that God has poured himself into Christ. He was Christ, and everything that Christ did, he did out of who God himself is. And when you study this book, you study exactly who and what God is. We have the ability to understand God because God wants us to understand him. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, we're going to be here for a little while. You have time to turn there if you'd like to turn in your scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. If you could get a hold of this, it'll blow your mind. If you could get a hold of this morning, this is the one thing that I want to have stick with you. Is that God wants you to understand him. God has a desire for you to get to know him so that you can have a relationship with him that you could never have imagined. Ephesians 3, and we're reading first in verse number 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded and in love, get verse number 18, may be able to comprehend. That's understanding right there. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God desires for you to understand the breadth and length and depth and height of himself. God desires for you to know him. He desires you to know him so much that he has revealed himself to you. He wants you to understand him. So the question is, I've already given you the bad news. How do we get to the point of understanding God if it's so huge? If it's such an overwhelming task? How do we get to the point that we can understand God? There's only one way to do it, and it's the same way we do all things through Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. Because if you're trying to understand God in your own power and your own wisdom, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fail. You're not going to get a thing. We understand God by faith. You know why we read the scriptures to understand God and how we're supposed to do it? We do it by faith. Because there is only one person who can give you the understanding of God. You kind of already know who it is, don't you? We're already in Ephesians 3. Look at verse number 20. God does the heavy lifting. Verse number 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You see, God desires you to understand him, to be able to comprehend him so much that when you come to him, he comes to you. The scripture says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Amen. You know what it takes? It takes a Christian that says, "You know what, God? I want to understand you. I have a desire to truly get to know you. So God, I'm going to crack open this book and I'm going to read this." And you know what's going to happen most of the time? I'm not going to understand a thing it says. How many of you ever been there before? How many of you ever read this word and it was not a blessed experience? You ever done it? We make it sound like every time you open this book that it's going to be great, wonderful truths flowing from the page into your mind. From my experience, that's a rarity. Most of the time, I don't think I'm understanding a thing. But as I add line upon line, precept upon precept, I begin to understand things that I could not have understood if I had not been building on the knowledge. Little by little, inch by inch, we grow slowly. And so what I do is I come to the Word of God, not so that I can get great and wonderful knowledge. I come to the Word of God by faith, trusting that God will reveal himself to me through his Word. I come to preaching, and how many of you ever have sat in preaching services and then went home and said, "Man, that preaching was good, but I didn't really get much out of it." You ever been there? Happens to all of us, every single one of us, because we are but flesh. So you know why we continue coming to church? We do it by faith. We come to church and we sit in our pew and we sit. Now, if you're sitting in your pew and not paying attention, you're not drawing nigh to God, you're not trying to get something out of it, guess what you're going to get? Nothing out of it, because it's like going to the store with no money in your pocket. You're going to leave with exactly what you came with, nothing. We come to church seeking after Christ, and we do it by faith, trusting that God will give us what we need from him so that we can learn from him. We walk by faith. You want to understand God? We had mentioned this last week a little bit. There are some things that God is going to bring into your life that are difficult. Some things you're not going to like. And you know why he brings those things? Because he wants to reveal himself to you. And he wants to show you some things from his word. But he can't teach you those things until he gets you to a place where you're ready to learn them. Till he gets you to a place where you're ready to submit to him. How many of you are as stubborn as I am? How many of you have ever had children that are as stubborn as I was as a child? Children that you're trying to give them some knowledge or trying to impart to them some understanding about life. These are some things you need to be careful of, and they're stubborn and they won't do it. How many of you ever have been in the disciplining room, shall we say, in that time of discipline, and you're trying to get your child to do something and they're refusing? And you're not disciplining because you desire to. You're disciplining because you need them to understand that what you're doing is wrong and you have to do what's right. Simple things. Make your bed. No. You ever had a rebellious child, as it were? I'm just trying to get you to make your bed. It's not that big of a deal. Just make your bed. No. And so you deal with the discipline, and they still say no. Sometimes God has to bring those difficult times in our life to teach us about himself, to teach us some things from his word. And you know how we get through those things? By faith. Many of you in here are probably dealing with difficulties in your life right now. You're probably dealing with things that you are unhappy with, things that you're looking at God, why are you allowing this in my life? You know how you get through those things? By faith. Trusting God, I want to understand you. And God, I want to understand you so badly that if you want this pain in my life to continue, if this will help me to understand you, then by faith, I'm going to trust that you, as my God, know what's best. And every time we do that, we come out of those circumstances standing in awe at the amazing wonder of who our God is. Because we understand him a little bit more because he brought us through something that we really didn't want to go through, but it was worth it. Do you truly want to understand him? You do it by faith. It's impossible for you to do it. It's too big of a task. We trust him to do the heavy lifting. He wants you to understand him. So I end with the same question I ended with last week. How well do you know your God? Are you growing? Are you adding to your knowledge? Are you growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to, by faith, look into the Word of God and trust that he will reveal himself. By faith, walk through your life and trust that God will work all things together for good to them that love him and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate your attention greatly. Dr. Carter, I will happily hand the service back over to you. I believe we've got our Sunday school report here as well. I'll even hand you the microphones. You want me to read it? All right, yes, sir, I will go ahead and do so. We had a total of 784 here in service today. Thank you.